Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. I got to know, is there anyone excited to be at church today? Yeah. Awesome to see you guys today. We are concluding our series, Holy 30. But before we get into that, I want to give a few shout-outs. One thing that we try to acknowledge is that every single Sunday is someone's first time visiting with us. And so if you're a regular attender, would you help me welcome our first-time guests that are here today? I want to give a special shout-out to those who are watching online and to our military community. Would you help me welcome them for being here? And I want to give one more shout-out. Today is Donut Sunday, and our executive pastor helped put together the donut wall, and then our office admin, Tabitha, helped get the donuts. 23 dozen donuts was collected. That's a lot. You have to have a certain size car to carry 23 dozen donuts. And so would you help me give them some love today? Thank you for that. So today we are concluding our series, Holy 30, but I want to make sure you're not confused. What has gone on with this series has been a challenge for 30 days to get into the presence of God. And there's five disciplines that we've been trying to practice. And if you have not picked up a card at guest services, the door that you walked in, they have some cards there. And you can jump in and do this challenge at any point. And the challenge of the 30 days doesn't end until February 6th. So even though our series is ending today, those of us that are doing all 30 days, we're still going till February 6th. So make sure you don't get confused. And if you're new or you haven't done it or you've slacked off, you don't have to wait for us to do the Holy 30 challenge. You can jump in at any time. Grab a card and just go with it. In fact, when this ends on February 6th, if it's been something that's been beneficial to your life and it's helped you get into the presence of God, keep practicing. Don't take it off. I know for me, one of the things that I'm going to continue doing is the fast for one day a week. It's been really beneficial for me and my relationship with God, and I'm going to continue doing that even when the Holy 30 series is all over. Today, though, what I want to focus on is prayer, that a part of the Holy 30 series is praying and talking to God. And I know enough Christians to know that prayer is something that a lot of people struggle with. It's something that a lot of Christians struggle with. Some people struggle because they don't know what to say. There's this fear of like, I don't know, I don't want to say the wrong thing to God. Like, maybe he'll nuke me if I like say the wrong thing to him, or like, I don't want to offend God. And so fear causes a lot of people to not even talk to God. There's some people, though, that they're not afraid. They're just lazy, and they just put it off, and they just don't practice it and prioritize it, and they're like, yeah, I should pray, but they don't really pray. There's a lot of that goes on as well. There's also some people who would say, I would pray, I just don't know what to say. Like, I don't know, I've never been taught. No one's ever sat down and taught me how to pray. There's some of you, though, that you're like Bon Jovi, and you're, whoa, we're halfway there, whoa, oh. I knew I could count on you. I knew it. I knew it. You're filled with donuts and John Bon Jovi, living on a prayer. Some of you, though, you're like all about prayer. You're like, yeah, I pray every day. I practice prayer. And if that is you, I want to encourage you. You can always learn something new. You can always improve. You can always work on it. Today, no matter where you're at when it comes to prayer, whether you're afraid, whether you're just kind of lazy with it, or whether you practice prayer every day, I want to invite you to lean in and to take some notes and learn something. Today, we're going to dive into a scripture that is going to encourage and inspire us when it comes to prayer. The scripture that we're going to look at, it comes from the New Testament book of Hebrews. And at Next Level Church, we honor the text. The way that we do that is by standing to our feet. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud, Hebrews 4:16. Now, when we get to the reference, I know with it being Donut Sunday, there's some new people here. And if you're new, just know that we do something a little weird and we just embrace it. We're not ashamed at it. We just go with it. And that is, when we get to the reference, we are all going to say Hebrews 4, and then there's two dots. And when we see those dots, we're just going to say dot, dot, and we're going to pump our fists, and then 16. And you're welcome to do the dot, dot with us. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4, dot, dot, 16. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. I want to invite you just to quietly in your heart, whether you've never prayed before or you pray every day, I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer, and that is, God, would you speak to my heart today, and would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend a few seconds just quietly talking to God? God, that is our prayer, that you would speak to us, God. Prayer is a two-way conversation. It's a chance for us to talk to you, but it's also a chance for you to speak to us. And so we're inviting you to speak to us today and give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. On January 2nd of this year, the Buffalo Bills took on the Cincinnati Bengals in a football game, and I wasn't actually watching the game, but pretty quickly afterwards, my social media it lit up with people talking about what happened in that game. And in case you didn't watch it or didn't know about it, during that game, Bills safety DeMar Hamlin tackled a Bengals player. And after he tackled the player, he stood up and was on his feet for about 3 seconds. And then he falls and he collapses onto the field. And no one knows what's wrong with him at first, so they call the doctors, and the doctors come in, and they see that he's in cardiac arrest. He is suffering. In fact, the doctors have said that there on the field, he died, and they had to revive him and resuscitate him. It's a very scary thing, and the cameras are rolling, and like everyone that's watching the game is there. The whole stadium is watching this happen. And in the midst of all this scary stuff that is happening, the coach of the Buffalo Bills leads his team in prayer. And they circle around him, and they captured an image of this, and it's pretty powerful. The cameras caught this. It was on, if you were watching the game, you saw this, that the coach and his team gather around him, and they go to pray. Now, he was revived, and he is doing okay now, but there was a couple days even after this where people were worried about DeMar Hamlin, and they were nervous about him. And it led to a lot of people say thoughts and prayers with DeMar Hamlin. It felt like for about 48 hours, prayer was very acceptable in our society. It felt like for a short term, like that people were talking about prayer and welcoming prayer, and people were not ashamed to pray. In fact, on the next day on NFL Live, which is on ESPN, which is not a Christian channel, one of the hosts led the audience in prayer, and it was a pretty powerful moment, and I brought the clip with me. Check this out.
Football gave me everything, you know, and I think even through the midst of absolute tragedy last night, I think you saw some of the beauty of football as well, that it's brought us all here together. You know, like, this is a little bit different. I've heard it all day, like, thoughts and prayers, and you just heard Scherf and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him, and I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say, like, we believe in prayer, and maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it him. Is.
DeMar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad. We're angry, and we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray, truly come to you. And pray for strength for DeMar, for healing for DeMar, for comfort for DeMar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up DeMar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 It's beautiful.
Respectfully.
Yeah, pretty cool. And even though the situation around him was tragic, I love what happened afterwards. Because literally for like 48 hours to 3 days, people were saying prayer. Prayer is the answer. We need prayer. And it was very cool as a person who's on social media a lot to see so many people talking about God, faith, and prayer. In fact, even people who don't really believe in God were praying for DeMar Hamlin in that moment. And I think it's pretty amazing. It's fascinating. In fact, as a pastor, I've had multiple times where people have come to me who said, hey, I don't really believe in God, or I'm an atheist, or I'm agnostic, but something so bad is happening in my life right now. Would you pray for me? It is amazing how when difficult things happen to us, when tragic situations happen, we go to prayer. But if you're here today and you're a person of faith, I want to challenge you. Let's not wait until something tragic happens to go to the throne of God. Let's not wait until someone's on their deathbed before we go and we talk to God. Our culture, that's their answer, to ignore God, and then when their world falls apart, go and ask him to help them out. But as people of faith, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to have a relationship with God, to talk to God. And one of the ways that we do that, the main way that we do that, is through prayer. And I want to show you this in our text today. I want to give a little bit of context about our text, because I think the context helps us better understand the Bible. What we're going to read today, it comes from the New Testament book of Hebrews. Something interesting from the book of Hebrews, it's the only book in the whole New Testament that we don't know who wrote it. There's no name associated with it. A lot of people have said they thought the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews, but I personally don't think that Paul wrote it. Paul's a primetime player. He wrote a lot of the New Testament, over half of the New Testament. But one thing that is significant with Paul's letters is whenever Paul writes a letter, he identifies himself. In all his letters, he's like, yo, it's me, Paul. I wrote this. Like, hello, I'm the author of this. And in Hebrews, there is no mention of who wrote it. We don't know the author. In history, the earliest name that was associated with Hebrews is the name Barnabas, which was one of Paul's friends. When Paul first converts from being someone who persecuted Christianity to becoming a Christian, he went with a guy named Barnabas on his first missionary journey. And Barnabas was kind of the leader, and Paul was like kind of under him, learning from him. We know that Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas was a former Jewish person who converted to Christianity. And so maybe he was the author. We don't know for sure. What we do know is that the audience in the book of Hebrews was primarily Jewish Christians, people who had converted from Judaism to Christianity. And what they were going through in the time was severe persecution, that their culture in their day and age was literally out to kill them, that they had friends and family members who were being arrested. Some were being tortured. They were going through severe persecution. And so it makes sense that the author of Hebrews, whoever that was, would encourage them and write to them and say, hey, while you're going through this severe, horrible situation, prayer should be a part of your life. And with that context, let's look at what the author of Hebrews says about prayer. We're going to start Hebrews 4, verse 15. The author writes, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." I want to stop there just for a second. In order to understand anything about this verse, we have to talk about the high priest. Now, to us, we don't give a rip about the high priest. We don't think about the high priest. The high priest is not something that you have thought about. You've probably lived your whole entire life never thinking about, oh, a high priest. But in their culture, the high priest was a really, really big deal. And it comes from the Old Testament part of the Bible, that God, when he was establishing how to worship him, he calls out Moses to lead God's people, and then he calls Moses' brother Aaron to be the very first high priest. And God gives Aaron some specific instructions. This is what you are to look like. This is what you are to wear. This is how you're to conduct yourself. These are the things you should do, and these are the things you cannot do. And Aaron had one main goal, and it was a big goal for God's people. Make sure you don't tune this out, because it's really important to understanding what Jesus has done for us. One of the big responsibilities, the most important job of a high priest, was to conduct the service on the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month of every year. Only he was allowed to enter the most holy place behind the veil to stand before God. Having made a sacrifice for himself and for the people, he then brought the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, God's throne. So in their day and age, what happened is in the temple, they believed the presence of God was there. And the presence of God was so powerful, they put a veil up that would separate the people entering the temple from God's presence. And if any human being walked past this veil, they would be zapped. They would be nuked. They would die. And the reason is because God is so holy. He is so perfect. He is so worthy of praise that us as dirty, rotten sinners, us as imperfect people, when we enter into the presence of God, we can't even stand it. And so in order, what they would do is you would bring your sacrifice to some animal, and they would kill that animal, and they would bring that blood, and they would bring it to the priest, and the priest then on your behalf would go into the presence of God. Now, if you grew up Catholic, you kind of understand this. You may not have grown up Catholic or not, but if you did, you understand what it means to go to a priest on your behalf, confess your sins, and then the priest takes that to God. That is what was going on in their day and age. So the priest was a really, really big deal. Now, I did not grow up Catholic, but I did serve some time in Catholic school. I went there for half a year in fifth grade, and it was an education. I remember my very first week there. On Thursdays, we had a chapel as a part of the Catholic school, And I walked in. I had no idea what to experience. And I walked into the room, and all of a sudden, a nun grabs me by my shirt and yanks me back. And I'm like, what is going on? And she starts fussing at me because I entered into the room and didn't dip my fingers in the holy water, and I didn't know. No one explained it to me. I was an outsider. I didn't grow up Catholic. During that school year, at some point, they prepped us for we were all going to meet with the priest and confess our sins. And I had no idea what was going on. I was like, I don't want to talk to that guy about the bad things I've done. Like, what is happening? So I went to my teacher, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And she said, you're not Catholic. Just tell him that, and he'll take care of the rest. So I went into the little confessional booth, and he opened up the little thing, and he tells me to confess my sins. And I'm like, I'm not Catholic. And he said, okay, well, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, the Lakers. And so, like, we shoot the breeze, and he was a really cool dude. We were talking about basketball, and then he was like, all right, your time is up. And I left. So I can't relate to this idea of the high priest. I didn't grow up with it. But a lot of you did grow up. You're former Catholics, or you grew up, or your parents were Catholic. And so you understand what it means to go to someone else and say, hey, here is my sin. And then that person brings it to God. Well, in this day and age, back when this was written, the people were struggling understanding that they no longer needed that high priest. They no longer needed to bring their sin to someone else, that they could actually walk into the Holy of Holies. They could walk in, that Jesus split the veil, and they could walk into his presence, that they themselves could go into the presence of God. And the reason that they could do that is because Jesus has become our new high priest. I want to show you this again. Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So today, we don't have to go to a high priest because Jesus became our high priest. Jesus, on our behalf, God sent him to earth. He was fully man and fully God, and he lived a sinless life. So that when Jesus died and then rose again, whoever believes in him, we now have access into the presence of God. We now can go straight to Jesus. We don't have to go to another human being. We don't have to go to another man, or we don't have to go to anyone else. We can go straight into the presence of God. And if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, I want to give you three insights about prayer. And the first insight that I want to give you that comes from this verse is how you pray changes when you know who you pray to. How you pray changes when you know who you pray to. I follow the actor, former wrestler, The Rock, on social media. I follow him on Instagram. And all right, we can clap for The Rock. Woo, Rock. Well, one of the things that is interesting to me about him is that from time to time, he will show where he meets his fans. And I remember there was one time when a girl who was in, like, high school, she had waited all day for him, and it was up until, like, late in the night for him to get out of whatever film he was shooting. And he comes and he talks to her, and she can't even speak. She's just in tears. She doesn't know how to address him. He has to do all the talking for her because she doesn't know The Rock. She doesn't know Dwayne Johnson. She knows of him, and so she just was, like, overwhelmed to be in his presence. And so he'll show videos like that, but then he also shows videos of him and his daughter. And it's very interesting to me that his daughter is not wowed by the celebrity of The Rock. She's often, like, painting his face with makeup or doing his nails, and she just kind of almost abuses him. Like, she'll wrestle with him. She doesn't understand how powerful he is. She doesn't understand how much money he has. She doesn't understand how strong he is. That dude is jacked. Her relationship with him is different than the fans' relationship. She doesn't sit in his presence and cry and say, I don't know what to say to you. She's like, no, you're my dad. I go to you and I have fun with you, but you're also my protector. You're my father. You see, when you know someone, it changes your relationship with them. And when it comes to prayer, we're not just to know about God, we are to know God himself. Did you know that the people in the Old Testament were actually envious of us? Their whole life, in order to get to God, they had to go to a temple and allow a priest to go to God on their behalf. And now, because of what Jesus has done, every single one of us has access to God's throne. They would have looked at what we had and said, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's fantastic. I can't believe that you get to do this. It's an honor to get into the presence of God. How you pray changes when you know who you pray to. So the New Testament scriptures gives us almost a formula to understand who we pray to. When we pray to the Father. All right, the scriptures make it very clear that we have one God in three separate persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we pray to God the Father, and we can go to God because of his Son, Jesus. So whenever we pray, we address our prayers, God, God the Father, Holy Father, something addressed to God. This is who I'm talking to. And the reason I can come into the Holy of Holies, the reason I can come into your presence is because of Jesus. So when you end a prayer, it's not just some amen or some casual thing. We address our prayers in Jesus' name. God, I come to you. Here's my prayer request. You're my heavenly Father. You're the Holy One. God, my prayer is addressed to you. Not some random God, not to a million gods out there, but specifically to God the Father. Here's my request, and I'm going to address it in Jesus' name because that's the reason I have access to get into your presence. So we pray to the Father, through the Son, but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit plays an interesting role in prayer. In fact, the New Testament tells us that when we don't know what to pray and we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit actually takes our groans, it takes our cries, it takes the things that we don't know how to put into words, and it delivers it up into the throne room of God. So the Holy Spirit is a part of prayer. And so when you pray, you're not just aimlessly throwing something out there and hoping that the God of the universe catches it. No, you are boldly coming before God. God the Father, I address this. This is my needs. This is what I'm going through. God, I pray to you. And I pray in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. So you aren't a priest, but you have access into the presence of God because of our new priest, Jesus. If you are a football fan, imagine it this way. Imagine that you get a VIP pass to the Super Bowl. Now, I know that not all of you are football fans, so if you're not a football fan, don't tune this out. Just imagine you got like a VIP pass to Chip and Joanna Gaines's whatever they do, or Taylor Swift. Like, just translate it, okay? Do your own work. But for the football fans, just imagine you get a VIP pass to the Super Bowl. It comes with all access. You can go anywhere you want on the field. And as a part of that VIP pass, at the end of the game, you get to meet with the MVP of the game. Now, I don't know how you would feel about receiving that VIP pass, but I would be a little bit nervous. I would think, well, what if I say something dumb, or what if I embarrass myself, or, like, I don't know how to talk to the MVP. Like, I don't want him to think like I'm an idiot. And so I would be nervous receiving that free VIP pass. But my nerves wouldn't stop me from going to the game. I still would go. The fact that I had access to get onto the field and the access to get into the game and access to go and talk to the VIP, I would take full advantage of that even if I was scared. I hear so many people talk about how they're nervous or scared to pray to God. Don't allow your fear to stop you from using your VIP pass. If you are a Christian, you don't have to pray. You get to get into the presence of God and you can talk to him about anything you want to. If you're afraid and you don't know what to pray, just start praying. When you pray and talk to God, it's like the rock's daughter. She's not nervous about what to say to the rock. She just talks to him. She knows him. When you're in the presence of God, just talk. He'll teach you. He'll help you. He's not going to be offended by what you say to him. Just talk to him. Get into his presence. I want to give you the second insight about prayer, three insights about prayer. Number one is how you pray changes when you know who you pray to. But number two, focusing on God helps us stop focusing on ourselves. The author of Hebrews is very clear that we have a high priest that goes before us. And one of the things about prayer that is so powerful is that prayer causes you to focus on God and stop focusing so much on yourself. One of the reasons that we struggle to pray is that we wait until something wrong happens in our life to then bring that to God. But prayer is not just about you. A big portion of prayer is God. In fact, Jesus' disciples, when they were on this earth, there was 12 of them, they got Jesus together and they're like, hey, would you teach us how to pray? We've heard lots of other people talk about prayer, but since you're God's son, how should we pray? And look at what Jesus said. You might be familiar with this if you grew up in church. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus gives us an example, a model on how to pray. And if you ever go into your Bible and you read this, what you will notice is that the first half of the Lord's Prayer is directed at God. You don't come in. Your needs don't come in until you've spent time just talking to God about who he is. Our Father who art in heaven. Your will be done, not my will. It's not about me, it's about you. One of the reasons that I'm convinced so many people are struggling with anxiety today is because we are hyper-focused on ourselves. We live in a society that literally teaches us, do what feels right to you, live your truth, think about you, it's your needs, have it your way. And all that attention on ourselves is causing us to be nervous wrecks. Because the more that we focus on ourselves, the more problems come in our lives, the more we see that we're not getting our way. When prayer increases, anxiety decreases. Your anxiety may never go away. You may be an anxious person for the rest of your life, but I promise you, when you take your eyes off of yourself and you put your eyes on God, the amount of anxiety that you experience goes down. Why? Because you're no longer just thinking about yourself. Anxiety is hyper-focused on our own problems. It's hyper-focused. It is worry on steroids. And when your brain starts to worry about you, about what's going on in your life, redirect that time and attention to God. God, hallowed be your name. God, I want to focus on you. God, I've got some stuff going on in my life, and I'm going to talk to you about it, but not before I just come into your presence and talk about your goodness and how great you are. God, you are who I'm addressing this to, and God, you are good. Get your eyes off of yourself and onto God, and watch what happens to your worry and to your anxiety. How did Jesus resist sin? He prayed. How did Jesus make it in life? He prayed. Often when life was getting extra busy and there was tons of people wanting Jesus' attention, he would pull away from everybody simply to pray. If Jesus spent time praying, how much more should we pray? We don't have to do this. We get to do this. Let's keep reading our main verse in Hebrews. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So then the author of Hebrews says, because we know who we're praying to, our new high priest, Jesus, takes our prayers to God, let us approach God's throne with confidence. We don't have to go to God's throne and say, oh God, it's a little old me. Oh God, you probably have other things that you're worried about. Oh God, I know you don't really care about me. No. We go to God's throne with confidence. I'm here because I belong here. And I belong here not because how great I am, but by how great your son is. I'm going to come to you with confidence that know that you hear my prayers. And I know you hear my prayers because I'm coming to you in Jesus' name. I'm not coming in my own name or my own fame. I'm coming in the name of your son, Jesus. And this takes us to our third insight about prayer. Three insights about prayer. Number three, prayer is not our last resort, but our first defense. Prayer is not our last resort, but our first defense. Prayer is both an offensive and defensive weapon. And the reason I use the word weapon is that we are in a battle. We're in a battle for our souls and our minds. If you don't believe we're in a battle, let me just ask you, why is it so difficult to go to church? If you're not in a battle, why is it so difficult? Like, this is a pretty nice place to go. We have cushioned seats. You don't have to sit on a wooden pew. It's not, like, hard to come here. We provided 23 dozen donuts out there. But why in your mind is it a battle some weeks to go to church? Because we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Why is it a battle to pray? I think most people, especially people of faith, would say, I should pray. But why then when we wake up in the morning is our first thought not to get into the presence of God? Why is our first thought to hit the snooze button? Because we are in a battle. We are in a battle that wants to distract us and wants to cause us to forget about God. It wants to forget about what we are doing and wants to forget about the fact that we have access to God. We are in a spiritual battle, and the weapon that we use for this battle is prayer. The problem is that so many of us show up to battle every day without our weapon. And we're trying to go through life without the access that we have to God. If you want to start winning some battles in your mind and want to start winning some battles in life, it's not going to come by being more disciplined. It's going to come by being in the presence of God. And we get to the presence of God by praying. Author C.S. Lewis, he wrote The Chronicles of Narnia and a whole bunch of other Christian inspirational things. He wrote this. This is one of my favorite C.S. Lewis quotes. He said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. I love that idea because I can experience it. I have experienced it in my life, that we have access to the Heavenly Father, the God of the universe, the one that created the stars and the moon and created the galaxy. We have access to Him, and yet we say, I'd rather watch Netflix. We have access to get into the presence of God, and we say, I'd rather hit the snooze button. We are far too easily pleased. It reminds me of something that went viral a few years ago. I think it's very funny. I don't know if you'll find it funny, but it makes me laugh. And it's Donut Sunday, so I thought it was a great illustration. There was an elementary school girl who had to write an assignment that was exactly 137 words. And the subject that she chose was plain donuts. And she writes this letter in her class, and this is what she wrote. It ended up going viral on the internet. She said, you know what I think is weird? Fake donuts, a.k.a. plain ones. I mean, you just stroll into a Dunkin' Donuts and you see all the different flavors and types like glazed, strawberry, Boston cream, and chocolate frosted. And there, just sitting there among all the wonderful flavors, acting like it belongs there, is plain. Right there, laying on the pink and orange tissue paper with the little shiny silver walls of the crate in it surrounding it, just like all the real ones. But it's not. It's not one of them. It has no frosting, no sprinkles, no glaze, no cream, no fillings or toppings at all. It shouldn't even be called a donut or a pastry of any kind. It's just a bagel. A bagel. Word count exactly, 137 words. In a funny way, that reminds me of C.S. Lewis's quote, that when you go to buy donuts, you have all these options. Why would you settle for one that is just plain? Now, personally, I don't discriminate against donuts. If you bring me a plain donut, I will eat it. But if I have my choice, I'm not taking a plain donut over the ones that have all these extra things. So many of us are settling for the plain old thing when we have access to the greatness of God. Pastor John Piper, he said it this way. I think this is pretty powerful. He said, our chief enemy is the lie that says sin will make our future happier. Our chief weapon is the truth that says God will make our future happier. My thirst for joy and meaning and passion are satisfied by the presence and promises of Christ. The power of sin is broken. We do not yield to the offer of sandwich meat when we can smell the steak sizzling on the grill. If you've struggled to pray, if prayer has been something that is not easy to become a part of your life, what I want to ask you to do is take your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes on Jesus. Remember, this isn't something you have to do, it's something you get to do, that we get to get into the presence of God. And when we don't participate in the presence of God, it is like we're settling for sandwich meat while the steak is sizzling on the grill. It's like we're settling for mud pies when God's promised land is around us. It's like we're settling for a plain old donut when we could have anything that we want. The greatness of this life comes not from your energy and effort, but what Jesus has done for you. And you experience that when you get before the throne of God and pray. Prayer, yeah. Prayer is not our last resort. We don't wait for an NFL player to drop almost dead on the field to pray. Prayer is our first defense. We wake up every day with excitement and passion to pray. And when we don't feel like praying, we remind our brains, I get to get into the presence of God. I don't want to put my feet on the ground before I've spent some time talking to Him. And when I talk to Him, I'm going to talk to God the Father. And I'm going to talk about how great God is. And if I have nothing else to say, I'm just going to say, God, you're good. God, you're great. And I'm going to go to God the Father through His Son by His Holy Spirit. And I'm going to bring my requests to God because God cares for me. And I'm going to know, no matter how simple or silly the request may seem, the God of the universe cares because He cares for me. This is why the author of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. It's amazing that the God of the universe, Jesus, when we go to him, he doesn't say, you silly little sinner. He says, no, I know what it's like to be a human. I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to be tempted with things. But Jesus didn't sin. Why didn't he sin? He continued to pray. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So may we be a people that doesn't forget to pray. May we prioritize prayer because it is our weapon. May we understand that our anxiety may never go away, but it sure will decrease in the presence of God. May we stop making prayer all about ourselves and make sure that we put all that attention on God. God. And may we see God do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine when we pray. Would you pray with me? God, we come before you and we just thank you that you are the God of the universe and you invite us into your presence. And God, we just apologize for how lax we are with prayer. We apologize for how scared we've become. We apologize for how often we forget to pray. And God, we just ask that you would help us to not wait. To not wait until our world falls apart or something bad happens. But God, that we would prioritize, that we would get into your presence every day. And we come to you with confidence, knowing that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, God, you will answer according to your will. We thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.